curse that we hear now rehearse in Philadelphia. A second flood, a simple famine, plagues of locusts everywhere, or a cataclysmic earthquake, I'd accept with some despair. But no, you sent us Congress. Good God, sir, was that fair?
Long before the monster hit, Hamilton got America singing about a founding father's take on monetary policy, such as we just discussed in the last segment. There is another show clued into the country's beginnings. Set in the summer of 1776, the colonies are ready to declare independence, if only the founding fathers can agree to do it. 1776 follows John Adams of Massachusetts, Benjamin Franklin of Pennsylvania, plus Richard Henry Lee and Thomas Jefferson of Virginia, as they attempt to convince the members of the Second Continental Congress to vote for independence from the shackles of the British monarchy by signing the Declaration of Independence. If this is all news to you, you're not alone, and that's why Polyque Theater is bringing back the musical 1776. Theater manager-producer Tom Holowak joins us this morning. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm fine, Billy. Good to be here.
I courteously agree.
So you know all the inside jokes.
Well, okay, we'll be outside baseball for a while. So it's another generation, the last generation, or probably us, remember when the musical came out, we were hanging around watching the tall ships and the bicentennial celebration. But then Hamilton takes the stage, and now a new generation of Americans are learning about the history. So here you're bringing them back to the history of the history with this musical. What was your inspiration to find so many, shall we say, middle-aged white actors?
Well, it's because it's an election year. Mm-hmm. When I went back and I read some of the lines from 1776 about how Congress was a do-nothing Congress, like that cut you just played, and then found out that really our country was separated even back then. People think that this is something new, and it's not. But the Declaration came about because of compromise. It deals with a number of things that are very important to our country, such as the difference between states' rights and federal rights, and who is going to be in charge. And it actually has three different sides that you hear, and you get to understand why the different colonies thought the different things they did and how close we came to not having a Declaration of Independence.
And how close was that?
It really required a very tight vote and a bit of cooperation between people. But honestly, the big issue was slavery. People look at the Declaration and they say, well, why didn't they deal with slavery? And the truth is that Jefferson did deal with slavery. It's fascinating to go back and read Jefferson's original draft. And one of the key points of the show is when the representative from South Carolina, Edward Rutledge, basically says that they would be happy to sign it if only they didn't deal with that issue in the Declaration.
Our peculiar institution.
The peculiar institution. And John Adams absolutely does not want to compromise, but it's Ben Franklin who finally says, look, John, if we don't have a declaration signed, then what use is all the rest of it?
The irony is, to us, it's essentially settled law, quote, history, but then nothing was settled, and the fact that we got through it, a lot of things that happened during the Revolutionary War by today's standards appear to be miraculous, like the fog that enabled Washington to escape. And when I look at – was the compromise wording up until the year 1808, that was worked – that wasn't one of the amendments. That was actually written in the Constitution, wasn't it, about slavery?
Exactly. In 1789, they started to deal with the writing of the Constitution. There was a large chunk of time in between there, mm-hmm, where we actually had to win the war. People don't realize how drawn out the war was and how it started in Massachusetts in Lexington and Concord in 1775, yeah, and did not end for years and years.
October 1781, wasn't it?
Exactly. And the Constitution then became the rule book, so to speak. The Declaration was basically just saying, all right, these United Colonies are splitting from their mother country because King George is a tyrant and we deserve it. But the Constitution was really the foundation of our society.
The bugaboo by right ought to be free and independent states. And when you say free and independent, that means the state of New York is independent from the state of South Carolina. everyone was so completely independent once they had it. And it took, what, about another 3 or 4 years before the last British, after Cornwallis' surrender, even got out of the place. This is pre-telegraphs. I mean, it takes months to get the word around.
It's interesting to go back and look at the original things that Jefferson wrote, besides all the stuff that was taken out, and the show goes into that. I noticed that he originally said the United States of America with a capital U. One of the changes that was made was it was made to a lowercase u. So it was the United States of America, and they equated Great Britain. They called Great Britain a state, not a monarchy. So they basically put them, each state, on the same level as Great Britain, the country. And one of the things that Rutledge says is that they agree to unite for defense, for common defense. But besides that, they declared themselves to be independent countries. I mean, Virginia being founded in 1602, they were called the sovereign country of Virginia.
Well, they still today call it the Commonwealth. There are fine distinctions like that. What is a state? What is a commonwealth? I mean, this was very, very critical thinking in those days, because they were utterly independent of each other in a sense.
Yeah, it just has to do with the form of legislature they have. Massachusetts is a commonwealth, Pennsylvania is a commonwealth, and Virginia is. And it's commonwealth is basically saying for the common good. Mm-hmm. And state doesn't really deal with it like that, but it just is sort of semantics. It's like parishes in Louisiana instead of counties.
But then we have things perish, the thought you have to get to. A play in Hawaii where you have to find middle-aged white guys to play the part. This is not racist. This is actual history. People have to make a fine distinction, right?
Yeah, I've done theater here now for 15 years. And, of course, people who go to shows here know that in Hawaii we have neutral casting, colorblind casting, and that's great. And my fear was that I would have to do that because the crucial issue is about slavery. And even though Hamilton just doesn't care about it, it just throws out the rule book and casts, people who are black and Puerto Rican as the founding fathers, I really wanted to try and do it accurately, because I just felt uncomfortable having somebody of color being one of the members of Congress.
But the show itself is going to be a good reflection of your wisdom and thought as one of the founding theatrical fathers of the last 15 years. Tom, it's a delight to see you again. I wish the play all success, as I wish the colony's united success.
Thank you, Billy.
Tom Holowak is Palikou Theater Manager. Showtimes are September 2nd to the 18th this year. Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. Sundays at 4 at Windward's Palikou Theater. See our website for more details.
Mr. Adams, I say you should write it. To your legal mind and brilliance we defer.
Is that so? Well, if I'm the one to do it, they'll run their quill pens through it. I'm obnoxious and disliked, you know that, sir.
Yes, I know.
But I say you should write it. Franklin, yes, you.
Hell no.
Yes, you, Dr. Franklin. You.
But.
You.
But.
You.